daily. I think we all have to battle that. We all have a flesh body too. And the devil will attack God's people because of, you know, they can drift. I mean, he realizes that they can drift, and he'll do whatever they can to try to cause them to fall. And that's a dangerous thing. Can God's people fall? Absolutely they can. There ain't nobody here sitting or standing that is not subject to that. That could happen to you, and that could happen to me. And that's why we should watch after one another. Should watch after one another. So if someone, sometimes people fall under the radar. Well, where was they at? And then you think, well, I don't know where they're at. And we want to try to keep track of people and see where they're at. And because people like to, well, sometimes people drift, and they need somebody to kind of help them back. I think so. So that's what we're going to be talking about, and we're going to title this message the sin battle. And God's people, we go through that too. We all go through. We all have to battle with our flesh for one thing, right? We have to battle with our flesh. And we'll have to do that all our days. There'll be a day, when one day Jesus is going to come and there won't be no more sin. But right now, nobody's above it. If I can say it that way, no one's above it. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, preach on tonight, the sin battle. And all of us fight it every day of our life. And we'll have to do that all the way down till Jesus comes, really. And one day we'll get a new body. But we'll have to battle this flesh all of our days. All right, Romans chapter 13 and the verse 14. Here's our first text that I want to give you with regard to the sin battle. It says in verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Make no provision for the flesh. Our days, all of our days, we'll have to battle it. All of our days. Just not for a little time, but all of our days we must battle our flesh. And you can't take a day off. We must battle the adversary every day. We have to watch after that every day. And let me tell you a little something else about the devil. He also knows that our flesh is what? Weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we need to make no provision for the flesh in situations where you could possibly fall. Make no provision for it at all. He also knows that our flesh is weak. And let's go back to Matthew 26. I want to read that text to you because I want you to see it again, really. Matthew chapter 26, and I want you to look at the verse 41. Matthew chapter 26 and the verse 41. Now, beloved, I'm a pastor, and we got folks here that's been saved for a quite a time. And one of the things that you have to understand is you don't get above having to fight against sin. It's never above you. It's something you always have to watch after. It's always dangerous with regard to God's people. We're not so high and mighty and big and mighty that we can't fall. And I know that, and I fear that. I've seen some pretty big folks fall. and fell into sin. And I thought, man, I never thought this would ever happen to this particular person, but they did. And none of us is above that. And I keep that right down here in my heart because I have a fear of that. Man, I'd hate to fall. Wouldn't you hate to fall? Oh, wouldn't you hate to fall? Especially since we are the people that represents our God. And I want to represent Him well. But sometimes good people fall. And that's another part of this message that we're going to look at. Make no provision for your flesh and watch after yourself every day of your life. Pray every day of your life. And I do it every day. I said, Master, keep me from sin. Hold me up to where I need to be. This is going to sound odd to you, but I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself. So that's why I keep a tight watch on what I say and on what I do. Because none of us is above those things, because every one of us tonight has something in us. Y'all know what it is. You still got that sin nature in you. You still have it. And I still have it. And if you ain't careful, you can slide yourself right into sin. And I've seen some pretty big people slide into sin that I thought would never, ever, ever happen over the years that I've been here. But nobody's above it. Y'all agree? No one's above it. So make no provision for your flesh to satisfy the desires of the flesh. Number two says, here's the first, there was your first one, make no provision for your flesh. Number two, set no wicked thing before your eyes. Now that's more probable today, probably than ever. Probably than ever. I will set no wicked things before my eyes. And that's something that every one of us should make a covenant to. Lord, keep my eyes from drifting from where they shouldn't be. Set no wicked thing before your eyes. Now, with regard to us today, I think it's more today than ever because we have so many different ways where we can reach out to break this sin. Or to break this particular text. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Now, let's talk about some things that can get before your eyes that will cause you to sometimes drift. One of those things, we have a television, don't we? We got a television. I'm not saying throw your television out or anything of that nature. But what I'm saying, you got to be careful what you watch on it. And I want you to know something else. God watches. God knows what you watch. God sees what you do. So, we must be careful not to set no wicked thing before our eyes. Now that's easy to do now, isn't it? It's easy to put before your eyes with TV, movies, computers, all these different things. These are things, we got a computer in our house. We use it for our ministry. You can use things for good or you can use things for bad. But boy, you got to watch yourself with regard to not setting no wicked things before your eyes. Why, what's bad is that it's ready available and easy to get to now. Why is that? Because it's right there in your house. And you'll get this. Nobody knows. Y'all agree with that? Nobody knows. Do you agree with that? No, I don't agree with that. God knows. God knows. You've heard me say this from the pulpit before. I want to be clean where God sees. I want to be clean where God sees. I want to be clean when nobody else is around. I just don't want to put a show on for people. I want to be real, and I want to be true when nobody else is looking. All God's people say it. That's the way I want to be. I want to be right. So, with the televisions and the movies and all these different things that people can get into now, it's readily available. You have to, I hate to say this, but you have to watch after yourself. I have to watch after myself. You have to watch after yourself. And if it's something that's ungodly, if it's something that's wicked, turn it off, is what I'm trying to say. Don't watch it. It dishonors our King. It dishonors our Lord. And today it's getting worse than it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. It's getting worse and worse. What they show is horrible sometimes. So, TVs, movies, computers, I want to be clean. And I got a computer. I couldn't do without it. I got 2,000 sermons on that computer. And it's online. See, that's using a computer for a good thing. And when you use these things for a good thing, that's how God would have it. Man, we can reach a lot of people with these things, and we have been. And it's a good deal. But you got to set no wicked thing before your eyes. One of the statements made with regard to this particular statement. Y'all remember El Roi? Y'all remember that statement, El Roi? It means the God who sees. The God who sees. That means God sees everything. El Roi. God, He's the God who what? He's the God who sees. He sees everything. And we want to be clean where God sees, okay? All right, our entitlement is, our message is the sin battle. And our first part of our message was make no provision for your flesh to satisfy evilness from it. Number two, set no wicked thing before your eyes. Set no wicked thing before your eyes. Something comes on that shouldn't be on there, turn it off. Get rid of it. There's other things you could watch. It would be good. But I think it's very honorable for someone to get up. Maybe nobody else is there, but them to get up and say, I ain't watching that. That dishonors my God. I think that's being real. I love people like that. That'll say, man, I ain't going to watch that. Well, there ain't nobody here. God's here. God sees. That's enough, isn't it? So, let's go to number three. Keep yourself, now we're talking about how to battle, this is a sin battle. Make no provision for your make no provision for your flesh. Set no wicked thing before your eyes. And now, number three, keep yourself well fed. I worry about people not reading their Bibles. I do. I worry about things like that. And it don't do any good to worry about it. I just sent my prayer about. God's people need to read the Scriptures, y'all think? And God's people need to hear the Scriptures. And God's people need to study the Scriptures. We encourage each other in these kinds of ventures because it's very important. Keep yourself well fed. How do you keep yourself well fed? The scriptures. Yeah. Study them every day. We got them daily breads and we study them every day. And that makes you strong. You know what it does, beloved? It gives you strength. That's how you get strong. It's just like eating. And as you eat the scriptures, as you take in the meat of the Word of God, what it'll do is it'll strengthen you. And it'll encourage you. And it'll keep you well fed. So the scriptures does that. And you hear the scriptures from the pulpit. You hear the scriptures when you listen to the radio broadcast. You seek to listen to them. And it'll strengthen you. Okay, so keep yourself well fed. Sometimes, of course, with all this stuff going on, it seems like we starved to death, doesn't it? But there'll be an end to this thing eventually. And I pray that the Lord would touch in a mighty way with regard to that. Boy, I miss a lot of people. I miss a lot of people. Number four, remember what you could lose. Remember what you could lose. If you said a wicked thing before your eyes, here's what you could lose. Number one, you could lose your testimony. You say, well, if they do that just in the house, nobody will know. Somebody will know. Somebody will know. You know who that somebody will be? The Lord will know. And that's all really makes a difference, isn't it? That's all that really makes a difference. I told you when I began this message, and I've told you this before in the past. I want to be clean where God sees. That's where I want to be clean at. And if you're clean there, then you don't have to worry about everything else, do you? And that's what I really want to do. I want to honor Him. Love Him. Love Him. So you need to keep yourself well fed. You need to eat God's Word. I don't know. How much do you eat? How much do you eat as far as God's Word? You know, we got them little daily breads a man can read or a woman can read or whoever can read. I mean, if you want to, right there they are. You can read one of those every day. It's good for you to read the scriptures. It helps you. It keeps you well fed. Does prayer keep you well fed? Oh, yeah. Man, I walked out Plymouth today and up and back, you know, at 40-minute walk. And, man, it's just so precious to spend that quiet time with Jesus and talk to Him about the things of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. It keeps you well fed. And we encourage others. We encourage others and we warn others. We got to sometimes encourage other people, but at other times, sometimes people need a warning also at times. So keep yourself well what? Keep yourself well fed. Number four. Remember what you could lose. Here's the fourth statement. Remember what you could lose. You know what you could lose? Number one, you could lose your testimony, couldn't you? You could lose your testimony. If sin takes over your life, it would ruin your testimony. Have you ever seen anybody ruin their testimony? It's a horrible thing. Man, it's hard to ever get that back. I mean, you can get it back, but I'm telling you, it's hard to get back. You know why that is? Those people don't trust them. They don't trust them. They fail. Not like they couldn't fail too. But it happens. It happens. Remember what you could lose. You could lose your testimony. If you fall into sin, you could lose your what? You could lose your testimony. you could lose your children's respect. I want my, we want our children to respect us as children of God. Now, they might not like what I am, but they know where I'm at. Everybody got me? And what we want is to set a good example for them to see. Not a put on example, but something that is real. You want your children to see it. You want your children to see it. Okay? Number five. The wise man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself thereof. Sometimes the Lord will show you things and say, and he'll speak to your heart at times. And what he does in this particular situation is he'll give you a warning. Have you ever had the Lord give you a warning before? I don't know if you have. If you have, would you raise your right hand if the Lord's ever gave you a warning? He will. Over different ways, but sometimes a wise man will foresee the evil and then he'll hide himself thereof. He'll stay away from it. Proverbs 22 verse 3 says, "A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself thereof, but the simple pass on and are punished." That's Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Calls them simple. They go ahead and they see the evil, but they go ahead and do it anyway, and then they fall into sin. I've talked to people before that were serving the Lord. I don't know for sure about their hearts. I really don't know, and you don't either. But sometimes people, you just don't know. I don't know their hearts. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know if they truly trusted Christ. I just hope so. And there should be fruit. Can I say it one more time? There should be fruit there somewhere. I get nervous when I don't see no fruit. Or I don't see no change. That makes me nervous. Makes me wonder. But that's not for me to try to tell. Okay? So the wise man foresees the evil, and what does he do? When he foresees the evil, he hides himself from it. He stays away from it. That's what we're supposed to do. We don't run to it. We run away from it. So we won't fall into what? So we won't fall into sin. Number six. Just about done. Number six. There's a man in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 4 through 10. And his name was Demas. Y'all remember Demas? And here's what it says he did. "Demas hath forsaken me." This is talking to the Apostle Paul. He was a fellow laborer with Apostle Paul. He was. And you know what he did? 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. Demas forsook him. He forsook him. He just left him. There wasn't nothing more to do with him. He forsook him. Isn't that a terrible place to be? Hey, was Demas saved? I don't know. You ever did that before? Is this person saved? I don't know. I don't know their hearts. I really don't know. But boy, it really seems like something's wrong there, doesn't it? "Demas hath forsaken me. Having loved..." What did he say? What does the text say he loved? He loved this present world. To me, that sounds like a lost man. How about you? To me, it sounds like a lost man. I don't know if it changed later or what, but wouldn't you hate to have a testimony like that in the Bible? Demas hath forsaken me. This Demas at one time was with Paul, one of the greatest missionaries ever to walk this planet. He went with Paul and forsook him. And forsook him. And you know why he forsook? Having loved this present world. That's why he did it. And beloved, what I'm trying to tell you, people do this all the time. Everywhere you go, they do it all the time. They'll go for a while, and they'll forsake the things of the Lord and go right back out the way it was before. And you'll see that all your days. You don't like it, but you can't stop it. You just can't stop it. You pray, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved what again? He loved the present world. This is the last one. I'll go over it again in just a little bit. And this is number 7. God's people need to run with the God-fearing. Y'all agree? God's people need to run with the God-fearing. I want to run with God's people. I want to run with the people that are true. I want to run with the people that loves the Lord. That's who I want to run with. And I think that's true of everybody that's born again, don't you think? Demas loved this present world more than he did his God. More than he did his God. Who should we tonight? Who should we run with? We run with the God-fearing. People love the Lord. That's who I like to run with. That's who I like to run with. I like to run with the God-fearing, those that have a true change, those that serve the Lord and love the Lord. Run with the God-fearing. Let me go ahead and give you the close of this, and here's what I gave you tonight. I've entitled this message, The Sin Battle. Number 1, make no provision for your flesh. Number 2, set no wicked thing before your eyes. Of course, that's more applicable today than it's ever been, right? It's really easy to put bad things before your eyes, isn't it? Number 3, keep yourself well fed with the Scriptures, with prayer, public worship, private worship, and encouraging words for one another. If someone drifts, you seek to help them. If someone drifts, you seek to help them. Wise man perceives the evil and hides himself thereof. Number 6, remember Demas. What did he do? He was with the Apostle Paul. What did he do? He drifted. Bad. Demas hath forsaken me. That's what he said. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There's a lot of people that's done that. A lot of people that's done that. And number 7, who should we run with? We run with the God-fearing. God-fearing will lift you up. All God's people say it. Let's all stand. Now, we have a business meeting tonight. Okay. And